Thank you so much, Felicia. You know, the most powerful thing about what she's saying is, based on God's Word, all of that's available and possible through the Spirit, through His Word. And I love those words, you know, asking the Word of God to speak to us, and that's what we come to do now. Amen? And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28. Did you find your place to Romans 8, 28? If you're physically able, would you stand with us to honor the reading of God's holy word? We have several visitors today, and it's good to have y'all with us, as always, and thank you for coming. And we just want to lift up Jesus for you. Romans 8 and verse 28. Before I begin reading, we could spend the rest of the day in this passage I'm going to read, and I'd encourage you to think about as different, and I promise you, different verses here are going to really grab you, probably personally, about something, and to spend some time with them this week. This is packed full of truth and promise and hope. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, and He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Needed that, amen? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. In other words, what the verse is saying is we were praying several times already this morning during Sunday school and in here and praying for Byron. Jesus Christ, our prayers are going through Jesus Christ to God the Father, making intercession for us. As His Spirit was praying in doing things that we weren't able to do with our physical thoughts and words. But I want you to pay particular attention to verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear God, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. I thank you for the promises. I thank you for the reminders. And I pray, dear God, that we might be able to only, Lord, as we seek you through the Holy Spirit, help, Lord, to apply this to our lives. Help us, Lord, to be able to live, to think, to speak, to make our choices, and to realize, Lord, the power and the reality and the truth of this scripture. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this passage speaks of the love of Christ, and Paul is asking a question, really, in verse 35, that we all at times in our lives have asked, and you may be asking it, it may be even a question that you had that you didn't even have the words to the question, but he's posing this question, who, and it's not only who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ. So obviously what Paul is saying is there's been times in his life when God has showed him that there's this feeling that of separation. We're talking about that this morning. I just feel separate from God and separate from His love. And all these different things are happening. We're going to look today, Lord willing, if we have time, at some of Paul's testimony of his life and what he experienced. And as a pastor, one of the things that I most desire is for you to have a clear understanding of what the reality is of being a Christian. What it means when you receive Christ, and you know, it excites me to be able to tell you and remind you, and we can celebrate, and if you've never received the gift of Christ, to tell you that salvation in Christ is a gift. It's literally a gift, and I've often said in sharing that it's a gift that's available. He tells us that there's nothing we can do. We can't do anything but open the gift through believing and praying and receiving Him. Thank God, amen. Because I'd be sunk, Mike. There's no way I could have got saved or done anything right. It was a gift. And we think of gifts in sometimes the wrong terms. I often share Christ with somebody, especially somebody that's older, that's lived a while. I'll say the Bible says Jesus is the gift, and I believe it's like, if you would, to physically think in the spiritual sense that the gift has been wrapped up, waiting for you. It's sitting right there with you on the pew today, or if I'm talking to them, right where we're sitting. It's every morning when you wake up in the bedroom, when you're at work, the gift is there. And so what we do is we open the gift by receiving Christ, but we receive Christ. One thing I'm always careful to tell people when they pray to receive Christ is, now, one thing I need to help you understand is that life is going to get a whole lot more difficult right now. Now, some of you are thinking, preacher, now why in the world you want to tell them that? They'll find that out soon enough, Miss Linda, as they live on. But why do you want to throw that on somebody just after all the excitement of receiving Christ? Because it's the truth. It's the reality that the Christian life, and what Paul is going to show us in this passage today, he's trying to remind us that the Christian life is a difficult life. As verse 35 is asking the question, our lives are full of tribulation, distress, and persecution, and famines, and nakedness, and peril, and sword. Lord willing, we'll look at each of those words and understand what they really mean in this passage, and not just what the word kind of means from our ordinary understanding. But it's a difficult life. And Paul was facing those difficulties, and he was knowing, and the Holy Spirit was moving upon Paul to pen these words to help us today, 2016, as Byron goes for a new cancer treatment, as Dennis is at the hospital this morning having a scan to make sure before they start chemo and radiation, as you sit there and think about the challenges and troubles in life, that Paul's asking a question that we always ask, you know, where is God? Have I been separated? Have the circumstances gotten to the point? Have my sin gotten to the point? Have things just gotten to the point in this old world I live in that there's a separation and I'm just going to have to deal with it and move forward? But before we even have to go through the message, he in his own question answers at the end of the chapter when he says that what he's found and what he's understood, that there is nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So he kind of establishes that. That's the good news. But we need to look at the details. See, Paul begins in verse 35. He's sharing a list, just a not an all-inclusive list, but he's really sharing a very personal list and very practical for us of things that will appear. Now listen, that they'll appear to separate us from Christ. That they'll appear that it separated us from love. Hey, listen, the reality of that, if you understand Byron and Deborah, if you didn't know Christ and walk with Him, didn't know the Scriptures, didn't understand all that's mine, cancer is a diagnosis that could really begin to ask, well, why would a loving God let this happen? Why would a loving God separate me? Miss Jean, why would a loving God separate me from my brother? And so Paul, I like what God does. There's real people in the Bible who dealt with real problems, and then God has showed them the answers, and thank goodness they're sharing them with us. So Paul is giving us a partial list of all these things that can happen. Now, I encourage you to add to this list, make your own list, okay? Dave, you make your own list, say, what are the things that happen that are these separating things? Because when you get a thought of separation, when you're not feeling the love as much as you want to or the understanding you have, then we're in a danger zone of headed off in the wrong direction, amen? I often say, I just don't wake up in the morning. As soon as I wake up, just thinking, oh, praise God, hallelujah, glory, I'll lean toward. I don't wake up saying, God, get my Bible. I want to get my Bible, and Lord, let me jump out of this bed, and I'll get on my knees, I'm ready for today. I'm going to go share. I'm going to study today. I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm sharing Jesus. I'll do it. Oh, God, I'm ready. No, I'm like all of us can be sometimes. I wake up in the morning going, oh, Lord, help me get out of this bed, amen? See, anything, this list and anything, hey, anything that you can think of and list, anything can be a reminder that without Christ, we are separated from His love. That we are. Apart from Christ, all these things and anything else in life, good and bad things, separate us from Him. And that's the problem you see in our world today. It's simply being a separated people who don't know Jesus Christ. But those same things can be used by Satan and our circumstances. And just, you know, we get weak, we get tired. Those same list of things as Paul gives us in your own list can hinder us in our relationship with Jesus Christ, in that he wants us to be growing in relationship so that we can serve him more and we can be following the master. But all those things can appear that we've been separated, and then we begin to make bad choices, and we begin to feel bad, and we begin to get depressed, and we get down, and that happens to everyone. I want you to look in your Bible with me in verse 35. Probably one of the most important words that he uses in verse 35 is simply that word separate. Separate. And it literally, the word in the original language, the Greek language of the Bible, simply, and I love simplified things, it just meant to put space between. To put space between. So separate, Paul was saying, these things, what things, who, in relation to things, and what things will put a place place between me and my feeling of that close love. We all know at different times and in circumstances where we just feel the love of God, the peace of God, the relationship with God. But then Paul was talking about the more, if you would, the daily, just things that will put room between us and our relationship with God, if you just want to be quite simple. There's a part that's missing. It's a reality that's really there because someone doesn't know Christ. Or instead of a reality, it's a feeling, a very real feeling that our circumstances have, or our sin may be causing our lives. This separation is coming. There's room between us. We don't want any room between us. Amen? I want to be following God. He says, follow me. And I say, okay, God, amen. I need to follow you. I want to get up as close as I can. I want to be right there on any space between me and you. But there's things in life and choices that create that space. The view that Paul has here, and you have to understand, is where he's positioned in life. And I'm going to have to speed up so I can get to show you some of that position he's at. But it's all your view has to do where you're at in life. And everybody's different. And then the longer I live, the more I minister, the more I just live, the more I understand. You know, we don't have a clue how most people, even those closest to us, or what they really are feeling or what's really going on. Amen? How many times I'm surprised, and me and my wife Sandra are going through a process lately of, you know, realizing how we get such in a rush and be so busy that we're saying something and we just don't understand at all what the other's talking about. Very, very simple things. I'll say, honey, you know, I need this. We were working the other day. We've been working. We had a bathroom that rotted out, and it's taking us forever to get it fixed. And we got it where we could use it again. And then we started using it, and we hadn't painted it. And I mean, it was a mess. You can just imagine that picture. And we had tore out, put sheetrock. It's a mess. But I find it very easy how I became accustomed to William. It didn't bother me at all. After a while, I didn't even notice it wasn't painted. But you know, Sandra noticed it wasn't painted. So we get in there, we're finally working, and you know, and trying to put things together. And we were working it on an old closet in the bedroom, and I asked her to, you know, I was telling her that, you know, we need to put this rod here, and this is to do here. And she's saying, but how about this? And I wasn't paying any attention to her. I wasn't listening to her question. Amen. I didn't understand what she meant. So take it some practical working on a closet rod. With some of the things, important things you do in life, how it is where you set your view of this separation becomes very real to you. The appearance is that you're separate. You might say, you know, where is Jesus? Where is God in all this that's going on? Now let me tell you what can happen, what happens often. We become distracted, amen? We become distracted. That's what Paul's talking about. Hey, I got this feeling. I know it's not true. I'll claim it in the other chapter, but I feel distracted. You can be discouraged. You can even be desperate, be in despair. But if you know Jesus Christ, don't miss this, you cannot be detached from him. You can be all those things, but it's impossible. When you give your life to Christ, there is nothing, Paul is saying, nothing that will detach you from him. You may feel that way, and you may make choices and have sin that kind of puts a separation from your relationship, but you can't, listen, you cannot be detached. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And you know, we all need to hear that this morning, is he always is holding on to us, no matter what we're thinking, saying, or doing, what's going on. So what Paul gives us in verse 35 is, if you would, his list, his personal list. Remember, I encourage you to make your own, but let's look at Paul's personal list, because every one of these, I believe, can be found in our lives. Now, first of all, he mentions tribulation. Tribulation here, when Paul said tribulation, what it literally meant was to be being squeezed or placed under pressure. Amen? Amen? Being squeezed or placed under pressure. That sounds like work. Amen? That sounds like a relationship. Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, grandparent, grandchild, whatever. So when you see that word tribulation, it's not just some huge traumatic event or something that's happened, Miss Loretta. We're going to make all these very practical. That's what Paul meant. And we lose it because we think we know so much about words and their meaning. We think we know about the Bible. We go, well, Paul, you know, man, he was a missionary and he was an apostle of God, so I don't apply to me. No, Paul's being very transparent. He says, listen, there's this times I'm just being squeezed and placed under pressure. Somebody mentioned that in our Sunday school lesson this morning that, you know, if you see somebody and they just look so distressed. And what it is, when you see somebody look like they're in need, most likely what's happened is they're in tribulation. They're squeezed. They're under pressure. It's outward and emotional severe adversity, which is very common. We all experience tribulation. That's what Paul was saying. Man, next time you're at work or you're dealing with something in your family or your personal life, that's what Paul was saying. Hey, listen, I feel like I don't feel God's love. I don't feel I can share his love. I don't feel him loving me because there's so much pressure that I'm under. And we said in our Sunday school, Marty, we live in a time, you commented, there's more pressures now, amen, than there used to be years ago. More things to squeeze and put pressure on us. But the second word he used in his practical personal list was the word distress. Word distress. It literally means to be in a narrow space. It's a picture of being confined, to being helplessly hemmed in. I love that definition, amen. That's what distress means. So distress, once again, it's not just you're in danger of being killed or hurt or something, you're under terrorist attack or all those things. Paul said, I just feel like I'm in a narrow space. Things are kind of closing in on me. I feel confined. I feel like I'm helpless and I'm hemmed in. Oh, that sounds like my mind edgy sometimes. Man, my mind gets under distress. I feel like I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to search the scripture. I'm trying to work it out. But we can get to points where we just find helplessly. Feel like we're hemmed in. There's nowhere else to go. Amen? And that's what Paul was saying. Those are the times you said, where's God at? Where's this love of Christ when I really need it? The only thing we can do is, in times of distress, is to trust in the Lord and pray that he gives us power to endure. We keep wanting the problem to go away or him to take us out of it or something to happen, but he has put us in that time. And what invariably happens when you get in tribulation, you're squeezed, you're under pressure. When you get in distress, you're hemmed in and don't know what to do. That's the very time Satan comes with temptation, okay? Just because you're battling cancer at your house, just because you lost a loved one, just because you got financial trouble, we often think, well, how much more can happen? What can happen more? Well, Satan is back there. The Bible says our adversary is saying, okay, I'm going to pour on the coals now. You think it's bad? You think it's bad now? Well, God is continually with outstretched hands saying, I love you. I'm going to take you through this. I want to, give you that peace that passes understanding during tribulation and distress, but Satan is attacking. Look in 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 10, verse 13. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13, we're going to find a verse that's so often misunderstood and mistranslated. 1 Corinthians in 10:13. So we're in tribulation and distress. And so Paul gives us a reminder here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says that there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Whew, thank you, Lord. So what the Bible's saying is, hey, next time you think that you say, oh my God, why did I think that? Why was I tempted by what I saw? Why was I tempted by that? The Bible says, hey, you're not alone, okay? You're not alone. It's no temptation taking you but such common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will make the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, this is the verse in the Bible that I'm afraid many of you may have done the same thing, but what people say is, I tell you what, bless God, God won't put on you more than you can bear. God won't put on you more than you can handle. It does not say that anywhere in the Bible. This is the verse that's been misquoted. So let's look at it very carefully. What God said was this. He said, there's no temptation that's going to come And I'm not going to tempt you or allow Satan to tempt you above where you're not going to be able to not fall to temptation. He says, in fact, I'll give you an escape, a way to be able to bear it. You need to understand, y'all, why the Bible, why God never said he won't put on more than you can handle, because we can't handle anything without him. And that's the problem we do. We miss here a verse. Mama said it. Daddy said it. Grandma and grandpa said it. Some of you may be ill with me because I'm telling you what the Bible says, but it's not in there. If you can find it, then show it to me. But I promise you, this is the verse that got misunderstood. Understand this. Y'all, listen, that's why so many people keep saying, well, I was told and I heard one time that, you know, God won't put on me and bear, and I know a lot more keeps coming on, but I'm going to be okay. No, you're not going to be okay. We can't bear anything without God. Nothing. So let it go. But what the Bible is saying in times of temptation and distress, that the temptations are coming. Amen? Amen? And that he's going to, it's okay. They can't get you. The temptation, that thought, that temptation can't get you. And God says, hey, here's my promise. There'll be no more temptations ever come that you bring upon yourself or your choices do, the people around you, or Satan himself can throw. There's none of those temptations that I promise you. And when God says that he'll make you able to bear it, and when God says that he'll make a way of escape, I promise you that there is a way. Amen. So the next time somebody says, well, just the devil made me do what I made wrong, say, no, there's a way out of it. So he went on not only there, if you go back with me to Romans 8:35, it's not only that he was saying there was tribulation and distress, he was saying there was persecution. Now you got to understand persecution. Now oftentimes we get under persecution because of the stupid things that we say and do, amen? You know how I do that? Because this preacher from time to time and day to day thinks stupid things, says stupid things, and does stupid things. Amen? Y'all all right? Persecution is not when I make bad choices, not when I live like the world. That's not persecution. What Paul was talking about is affliction that we suffer for the sake of Christ. There's a lot of church people that go, bless God, preacher, I've just been under persecution. I'm telling you what, they eat me up on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and at the country store. Me and Davey walked in the country store and men huddled up over there. And you might go to the country store and huddle up. I don't know, but I'm telling you, in times I've been in them huddles, they ain't talking about Jesus. So you might say, man, I'm in persecution. I made some mistakes, there's some things wrong, but I'm just in persecution. No, some of that's just, you know, the fallout from the world we live in. Persecution is what we should find ourselves in, though, on a daily basis, because we truly are suffering for Christ's sake. I've said in deacons' meetings, I've had deacons say in years past to me, well, preacher, things just shouldn't be this hard around here. Where'd you get that from? You know, and that's what I said to them. Where in the world did you get that from? Have you read your Bible? And I don't think he had, amen. We're full of persecution and distress and trouble. Oh, it just shouldn't be this hard. Church shouldn't be this hard. And bless God, he went and found him one more word. Amen. Hard. The Christian life is hard. Oh, these next few, you've got to make them practical. Get better. Famine. He sees the word famine there in verse 35. You say, well, thank God we live in America. Thank God I'm connected to some good friends, family. I promise this to anybody. This promise I made, I can't help you keep you from losing your house or your car or whatever. But I promise you, based on authority, you'll have a place, you'll have a roof over your head and some food. Amen. Amen. We've got a parsonage; it's a rotating door, roof, food. You know, and I'm telling you, because if you need to, you can come live with me. If I'm like Eric from China, who I didn't even know lived 2 years at my house, Lord, y'all can stay till you get out of trouble. Amen. And I wouldn't hesitate. There's probably hardly not anybody, in fact, even the ones that I think might not like it, I call you anyway, that I wouldn't call and say, hey, got a problem? Can so-and-so live with you a little while? Now, some of you looking real serious. Yes, I meant that. I'll pray about it a little bit before I call. So we don't have to worry about famine, right? What Paul was talking about is when you have persecution that we all have with Father Christ, then famine follows that. It's like, you know, people lose their job. in the Bible times, they threw them in prison, didn't feed them well. Yeah, you might not experience that, but, oh, the famine comes, amen. The Bible speaks of a famine for the Word of God. It speaks, you know, I mean, you might have food on your table, but spiritually you just feel like I'm starving. All this trouble's coming. Food don't even taste good. And I lost my appetite. He uses that word, next word he uses, there's nakedness. Well, that don't apply. No, what he was talking about when Paul, he didn't mean being nude. When he said nakedness, it meant being, it's destitution. You might not have adequate clothing you need for the circumstance, but here's what it really, here's the most point. And when you see nakedness in the Bible, he meant being vulnerable and unprotected. Ever felt that way? Just vulnerable. There's times when I feel like the armor of God is as real as a knight's armor, Steve. I mean, I feel like, man, I walk up, I walk toward hell with a water pistol, you know, swing over it with a rotten vine. You know, gotta go. And there's times I'm like, man, I just soon not see nobody. You all right? Vulnerable and unprotected. That's what Paul said. There's times I just feel so vulnerable and protected. He talks about peril there, exposed to danger and mistreatment. The dangers around. Marty said in our Sunday school lesson, hey, I don't know that they may blow up a bomb next to the terrorist attack in Charlotte. I'm walking down the streets of Charlotte and they blow up a bomb going to fall on me. Amen? Exposed to dangers, mistreatment. And then that sword that he mentioned, I'm trying to finish, was this, it was a dagger that assassins would use. Literally what the word meant. It was easy to conceal. It was a symbol of death by murder, not a military sword. So what Paul was saying is, man, the people keep coming up to me with this kind of head little sword spiritually, and they keep jabbing it in me. Amen? It's always that guy or that girl at work that does that. It's always that person in church who does that. And I, as preachers, we spend a lot of our time trying to go around and patch up the wounds. Amen? So listen, if you got a sword with you that you keep using on other people, how about come lay it down at the altar in a little bit, okay? Y'all right? And you know how I know about those? Because we all have them at times, amen? And I've laid mine down at the altar before. And blessed be God, Chris, I picked it up. And Chris kind of testified that this morning. Get sick and get the knife comes out, amen? I wrote in my notes, Paul only gave a partial list. But it was powerful. And it was personal. And all these things were trying to pull him away from his relationship with Christ. But he knew, and what he claimed at the end of the passage is, he knew that God meant what he said when he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. What God said, I'll never let you go. And so what Paul was saying, when you feel like God's let you go, and by the way, when you start feeling like God's let you go, I assure you that family and friends and other things, you feel like they've let you go too. Amen? Vice versa, when you feel like God is holding on to you, you feel like, there might not be many people in my corner, but I can name a few in my corner. And what Paul was saying is, listen, you're not being separated from the love of Christ if you know Christ. He's holding on. But what he says to you this morning is, if you don't know Christ, you are separate from his love. And if you die today or Jesus comes back today, you will be eternally separated from his love. Oftentimes, especially people that live real violent and worldly lives, usually it's an extreme case, you'll have people that say, I'm pretty sure I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell. That's all my friends are. We're going to party and live it up through all eternity. Well, y'all go to heaven and do your thing. See, now we're in the age of grace. God's grace and love is everywhere. Missed of a motorcycle gang, a terrorist pulling a trigger, surrounded by grace and God's love. If you die without Christ, you'll be eternally separated from that. And there is no love, there's no friendship, there's no party in hell. And the longer you live, the longer we live, you're going to hear that more and more. Well, if it's a real place, I'm going, because I sure don't want to be around you Christians. Amen. Would you bow with me? The question is so simple this morning. Did you find, does that list apply to you in ways? Did you add to that list? Do you feel separate? Would you be honest enough to say that some choices and some sin maybe has truly put a space between you and your relationship with God? Well, he's calling you back today. You come down to the altar and just talk to him like he's your father, because he is if you know him. And if he's not your father, if you'll come to me, we'll sit down with scripture and we'll show you how to know Jesus Christ, and you can receive that gift. Can leave here with that relationship. But I'm telling you, those feelings are real. And whatever feeling you're dealing with, all I want and all God wants is you to understand the truth he wants to tell you. I don't know, you might be contemplating running away. You might be contemplating suicide. You might be contemplating doing any manner of things because you just feel so separate, so distressed, and so detached, and so persecuted. I want to tell you that if you've received Christ, he is holding on you tighter than you ever have been held on before. And if you're not, he wants to hold on to you. Oh, I beg you to come. Don't leave here feeling the same, because God loves you. And God knows what you're under, going through. And God wants to help you. And God wants to provide other people to help you. Would you let him help? Would you let him help? And it's in Jesus' name we pray.